flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody. Boy, we've got a lot of stuff going on here as we bring Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. You must, by the way, check in on Pro Football Talk at least 5 times a day to keep up with the craziness we're going through right now. Terry Rozier, unusual gambling pattern, federal investigation. We got the massage therapist. They're back. And Justin Tucker. What else going on, Mike? Holy smokes.
It's just really, really crazy. And I just posted something at PFT. You know, when the Justin Tucker stuff hit yesterday, and we need to say that he strongly, strenuously, and vehemently objects to and disagrees with the allegations, but the allegations are there, and they're going to have to be dealt with. The internet started to pop up with old tweets where people were referring to this notion that he was banned from spas in Baltimore, and those tweets are like 4 years old. So that adds another layer of what is going on here to this thing. And the league's going to have to investigate it. And I said earlier today on PFT Live, if Justin Tucker wants to do the smart thing from a lawyer standpoint, if he wants good legal advice, reach out to these 6 individuals, find out who they are, settle their claims, get a confidentiality agreement, which keeps them from talking to anyone, because then the league cannot get them to talk, can't subpoena them. The league doesn't have that power. And any investigation goes away. And I don't want to be overly cynical, but that's how lawyers make decisions to advise their clients if the objective is to not get suspended by the NFL. That's the easiest way to do it. It's not going to be cheap, but that's the easiest way to do it.
Mike, there are a lot of details at the end that I could have done without, even though I did read them, like getting into specific things that happened with some of these women, and I don't know. I guess they can check to see if a couple of those locations actually really told them, please don't come back here again.
Well, the league will have a challenge because they've tried to create their own in-house court system. And it's easy to make it work when you want to get evidence from people who currently are employed by the NFL or its teams. They have to cooperate. The league has to rely upon the willingness of others to cooperate. And, you know, these 6 individuals, if they're not willing to talk to the league, then it goes nowhere. And that's why I said if you can settle these claims and get a confidentiality agreement, then they get some form of justice. There's no sign that any of them have sued. The statutes of limitations might have run, but you could still file a lawsuit. You could still make a claim. You could still settle a claim. and we'll see where it goes. But the league has said they're going to look into it, and they need to. They did it with Deshaun Watson. They need to look into it with Justin Tucker. And the real question from a football standpoint is this. Most teams view their specialists as interchangeable parts. I know Tucker has been one of the great kickers of all time. He's not been as great lately. Mm-mm. Is something like that enough to get the Ravens to say, we can find a kicker anywhere? We want a kicker that doesn't have this extra baggage.
Yeah. Well, listen, makes a lot of money, all those things to go along with this. So the other thing that we got to get into, you and I have talked about this a lot when the gambling started, and here we got a pretty darn good player, one of the highest paid players on this Heat team, Terry Rozier, unusual gambling pattern, and of course the team and others have said he hasn't been charged or accused of wrongdoing. All I know is he's popping up here on ESPN every 5 minutes in their news. How are you reading into this one? They must have something. What would open it up for the federal government to get involved?
Let me broaden the lens here, Joe, because the U.S. Supreme Court in May of 2018 opened the floodgates for any and all states other than Nevada, which already had legalized sports wagering, to adopt a program of sports betting. And we've seen most of the country do it. And it's gone on largely unregulated. Congress has done nothing. It's unclear when Congress is going to do anything. Until Congress does something, there's two ways to regulate the industry and the people who are involved in it. Civil litigation, lawsuits, class actions. There have been class action lawsuits filed. I think it's just a matter of time before we see a class action against an NFL team for hiding an injury to a player who didn't hit his prop bets, like Tyreek Hill with a broken wrist that wasn't disclosed for 9 weeks, and he hit his unders pretty much every week. That's an example of a way that you can hold these folks accountable for things that affect the interests of gamblers. Then you've got the potential for prosecution, and that's what's happening here. Grand juries, multiple federal districts from different states coming together, Jontay Porter, Terry Rozier, multiple college players. This is a broad sweeping investigation that is looking into this issue of corruption in basketball, college and pro. And although game fixing is mentioned, it seems to be one of the big focus points is the prop bet. And the prop bet is the easiest thing to rig. It's hard to rig the outcome of a game. But if you're an individual player and you just pull a hamstring or got the flu, right, and you leave the game early and you are under on your points, your rebounds, your assists, your whatever other number is out there people can bet on, that's the easiest way to rig it. And that's a separate conversation as to whether they should even have prop bets, but that's the easiest and simplest way for one person to do it. So there's enough there for someone to think it's worth exploring whether or not Terry Rozier did this and others. But I think this has got the potential to be a big deal. And the NFL better get its house in order before it happens to them, because it will.
Yeah, just a matter of time. I'm with you. So I'm going to get into the hot topic around NFL markets not in Kansas City all week, coming back after that great game between Buffalo and Kansas City. Chiefs get every call from the officials. They win another close game and got some help in the fourth quarter on a mark on a quarterback sneak by Allen, which came up short. What do you say to everybody that really feels this way, by the way, everywhere around the country?
Well, perception is reality, and the reality is the NFL has a perception problem. And the NFL can ignore it. The NFL can accept it, saying chaos is good. Who cares what they're saying as long as they're talking about us, although the gambling connection makes it problematic because you don't want it to get to the point where a prosecutor decides, I'm going to convene a grand jury to explore whether or not there's corruption at the heart of all of this. Now, I don't think it's rigged because I don't think the NFL is sufficiently competent to rig it. I think it would take too much effort. Too many people would know about it. Too many people would have to be bought off and or eliminated. And I'm kidding about one of those two. But that doesn't stop people from thinking it. See, that's the problem. The NFL has imperfect officiating techniques. They don't have full-time officials. There's no transparency in the replay review process like there is for the UFL. It allows people's mind to wander into these areas of it must be rigged, it must be fixed, it must be something that is nefarious and a conspiracy instead of stuff happens. And Here's why and how stuff happens. When your procedure for determining whether or not a player reached the line to gain is the same as it was since the league was founded at the Huffmobile dealership in Canton, Ohio, 105 years ago. Two sticks, 10 yards of chain, and two officials on opposite sides of the field, and one sees it one way, the other sees it another way, and for some reason, the one who saw the guy get the first down deferred to the one who saw the guy not get the first down as they do this mating dance toward the middle of the field. It's the damnedest thing. I was an official for 1 year at Pop Warner, and I learned that. One guy's got to say, I got the spot. You may have two different spots.
Yep.
One guy's got to say, I got the spot. And that first year I was doing it, I deferred to the guy who's been doing it longer. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I think I see something. I don't know. And that's what happened. That's why they need to fully embrace technology. They need to have optical tracking, digital mapping. We need to know where the ball is in relation to the line of gain. That's what it needs to be. And we'll see if they ever do it. The sooner they do it, the better. And if it would have been in place on Sunday, no one would have been in a position to say that anything was rigged in favor of the Chiefs.
Yeah, there's got to be a way. And I was thinking more in the way of technology of something. But I was curious, NFL Rules Competition Committee, what would you say would be their biggest job here to fix something this offseason?
Well, there's a lot of stuff they need to do. But the top two from my mind would be get this optical tracking technology in place. And you've got to use the old system as the fallback, but still get it in place and let's get it working. And secondly, they need to fully embrace the Sky Judge concept. The way replay review has worked, as augmented by replay assist, they keep adding little things to what can and can't be reviewed. Let's say everything can be reviewed. If there's clear and obvious evidence of a mistake made on the field, let's fix it. And let's make the person in the replay booth part of the officiating crew. That person is no different than the one who can walk up to the referee and consult with the referee because that guy saw something different from what the referee saw or the other one saw. And you've got the earpiece, the replay assistant, member of the officiating crew talking right to them. You need to have somebody officiating the game from the same perspective that we watch the game because the people down in the middle of the fray aren't seeing it the way we see it. We got to bridge that gap, and it can't be little bits and pieces. It's got to be full embrace, full transparency. That's what they need to do if they're serious about preventing the kind of scandal that seems inevitable if they don't button this up.
Yeah.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, if they can do it quickly, which we see things sometimes and you're like, why does this take 3 or 4 minutes? We can see it. We've already seen the angle. If they could do that, Mike, I'm with you to open up a lot more things than what they're doing right now. I totally agree with you.
Clock's ticking on them, and the sooner they get it done, the better off they'll be. And I really do believe, Joe, it's just a matter of time before the NFL has a major gambling scandal. They've been lucky so far. Baseball's kind of dealt with it. Basketball's dealt with it now twice. It's just a matter of time before it hits the NFL.
Yeah. Hey, there's the Cincinnati situation. Ja'Marr Chase just bet on himself, and boy, did he hit a home run. I mean, he got the hat trick. Most yards, most touchdowns by receiver, most receptions. He's got to be 38, 39, 40 million a year, and he's playing for the cheapest team in football. What's going to happen there?
Joe, he might be $50 million a year. We went through an exercise on PFT Live yesterday where I gave Chris Sims two names, and I asked him, which guy would you rather have, Jamar Chase or Jalen Hurts, Jamar Chase or Trevor Lawrence, Jamar Chase or Tua Tagovailoa? Who would you rather have? And the point was, this guy maybe is a $50 million a year guy. Now, the Bengals are never going to give it to him, and he'd have to make it through at least three more years, one season at a time, to get a chance to hit the open market. But this is one of the problems of the CBA, and this is why, and I know we're wired as fans to get mad when players want more, want to trade, hold out, because it disrupts the overall team and it undermines the chances of the team to be successful this year. But there are levers in the CBA that let the team squat on a guy and prevent him from getting to the open market and getting what he deserves. And that's what Burrow said. We got guys who deserve yep. to be paid what they should get. Chase is never going to get that unless he goes 1 year at a time under the franchise tag, finishes this fifth year of his rookie contract before doing that. And look at it this way, Joe. If I'm negotiating a contract with Jamar Chase right now, after we reach a deal on what he's going to get paid going forward, I'm going to say, hey, all right, what are you going to pay on top of the $4.8 million he made last year for the Triple Crown he delivered?
Yeah.
What's that worth to you?
Yeah, no.
Because they were smart to drag their feet. What they did was they dragged their feet through the fourth year of his rookie deal, and they got him last year for $4.8 million, and that's never being taken away. And so whenever they do pay him market value, yeah, they may have to pay him more than they would have paid last year. But this year, you don't have $4.8 million being replaced with the new salary. You've got $21.8 million that's going to be replaced with the new salary. So they pocketed a ton of cash by dragging their feet through his fourth season.
Hey, so I leave you with this one. Pete Carroll, I was a little surprised, by the way. Pete Carroll ended up getting a job with the Raiders. I don't know what the relationship is. Is there any chance to you that Russell Wilson says, hey, let's try this again? Or do you think if he gets a chance, he stays with Pittsburgh?
Things fell apart toward the end in Seattle. Russell Wilson viewed himself as a guy who could be a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen figure. That's where Let Russ Cook came from. And after a couple of years of frustration and back and forth, that's when they traded him. There was a report from The Athletic a couple of years ago that on his way out the door before he was traded, Wilson tried to get Pete Carroll fired. Now, if that's even remotely true, that would tend to suggest that a reunion would not be in order. And the other side of this, too, even if Pete Carroll decides, hey, we can spin the clock back, and Russ hasn't really lost much of his physical abilities, despite what the film of his performances in recent years might show, I want him. Well, it's not like Seattle, where Pete was in charge. Tommy's in charge in Las Vegas. And even if Pete is all in with Russ, if Tommy doesn't want Russ, Russ isn't going to be playing for the Raiders. And it became abundantly clear this week, if it wasn't already, minority owner Tom Brady is going to be majority voice in the organization, specifically brought in by Mark Davis to provide the stability to the franchise that John Gruden previously provided. And if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm like, well, what the hell am I? Gruden was the coach. I'm the coach. Why does somebody else have to provide stability? I'm stable. So it just creates an awkward situation. And to my point, if Tom doesn't want Russell Wilson, it does not matter what Pete Carroll wants.
Boy, I'll tell you what, watching that press conference with Pete Carroll and his general manager and the way they were talking about Tom Brady, there is no question. We can learn a lot from all the winning he's done and everything. You're right. It's been made clear to everybody in that organization Tom Brady's going to have a lot of say-so, especially at that quarterback position. What about this one? I don't know. I know Aaron Rodgers played in some celebrity events with Tom Brady. You think any shot you could see him playing for the Raiders?
Aaron Rodgers? I think Aaron Rodgers is going to continue his career elsewhere. And the first question is, do the Jets want him? I don't think they do. I think that the Jets and Rodgers are playing a game of chess as to who's going to make the first move to end this thing. And Rodgers would like the Jets to end it, and I think the Jets would like it at least to be mutual. But then the question becomes, where does he go? When you consider that he's had a great career at Green Bay that's been undermined by two disappointing seasons with the Jets, do you want to go to a place where you're going to be likely to win, or do you want to go to a place where it's going to be an uphill climb? And it's going to be an uphill climb with the Raiders.
Yes.
You're jumping into a division with three playoff teams, other than Max Crosby and Brock Bowers, who are incredibly great foundational pieces, what's really there to help the Raiders turn it around and compete with the Chargers, the Broncos, and most importantly of all, the Chiefs? That's why I think that Rodgers isn't going to be attracted to that potential destination. I would say the Steelers are more attractive to Rodgers than the Raiders, because the Steelers are at least a playoff team, and he has a chance of walking off into the sunset, not with a Super Bowl win, but with something better than what the past two seasons have been. And it's all in how you define your objectives. And, you know, he said on his way out the door for the 2024 season, it's been the best 2 years of my life. It's like,
really?
There must be some stuff that happened away from the practice facility that we don't know about. He found his soulmate. He found a great dog. He won the lottery, because the football side of it was caca. So I don't know how he's defining success and failure at this stage of his life. But if he's going to keep playing, I think he's going to want to play for a successful team.
Mike, thank you. Really appreciate it. So much to talk about, and a lot more next week at the Super Bowl. Have a great week.
Thanks, Joe. See you, buddy.
All right. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. We got to go to break. Always great stuff. Boy, this gambling stuff. Mike putting up the red alert. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.